Any of you into using a metal detector? Anybody been out and about in the fields and around about with one of those machines trying to find certain things? Hopefully that you might get some treasure. Obviously not. Not something I've done either. But one thing we have done is a treasure trail. That's a bit different, isn't it? Just a couple of weeks ago, we decided as a family that we would do a treasure trail around Cirencester. We didn't know that there was much at Cirencester, so we thought a little treasure trail might help us. And so we went around Cirencester, and we were following the clues, trying to get the answers to get to the code which led to the treasure. We got there. Unfortunately, the treasure was just the satisfaction of getting the answer right. But we all like that kind of looking for something, hoping that we're going to find something really special. Or maybe you're somebody who likes collecting things. Not just hoarding bits of paper and all sorts of things, but maybe you're a collector and you're going after certain things you wanted to collect. By the way, I don't collect Beatles albums, but or singles. But there are certain things that people want to collect, and they become very knowledgeable about what they're doing. They try to find out everything they can about what it's about, and get very excited when they find something is new. I remember when I was younger, as we all were, did a bit of train spotting. You know, I don't know quite what the fascination of it was, but we did it. And you used to go down to Swindon Station, and you used to stand there, hopefully not in the rain, and you get very excited if a different train came along and you were able to get that number to add to your collection. We all like to do things like that. And as Luke read to us earlier, Jesus is telling us stories about exactly that in the passage that he read. He's talking about two men who are willing to give up something for that they've come across. And Jesus is using these illustrations to describe the kingdom of heaven. The first man is in his field, or in a field. We're not told anything about what he's doing, but he's in this field, and suddenly he comes across some treasure. It's not something he's been particularly looking for, but he just happens upon it. Now, you might think that's quite strange, really, that how on earth would somebody just come across some treasure in a field? Well, back in those days, that was probably the safest place to hide anything valuable. People in Israel didn't have banks or vaults or safes or anything to store anything valuable. They were quite often exposed to people, raiders coming in and taking what they might have. And so the safest place for many of them was to dig a hole in the ground and bury their treasure or their valuables. And so that wouldn't be an unusual thing to happen. And often, I guess, people would die and maybe didn't tell anybody what they had done with their valuable things. And so it is quite possible that this is what would happen in the day that Jesus was telling this story. And this man comes across this treasure, and he is so excited about finding it that he buries it again. He goes off, sells everything that he has, and buys the field so that he can own that treasure. But then Jesus tells a story about another man who's a merchant. He's a trader. His whole life is about looking for pearls. Pearls were one of the most valuable commodities of the day. They were well sought after. And this man would have known all about pearls. And so he would be going around looking for the best ones that he could find, possibly wanting to sell them on to people who had lots of money who were able to buy them. And one day he comes across a pearl that's so good he's never seen anything like it before in his life. And what does he do? He immediately goes away, sells all that he has, so that he can buy that pearl of greatest prices, it's said in the passage that was read. Those are the two stories that Jesus told. A few weeks ago we were told that basically when we look at parables, there is one dominant theme. There is one thing, one lesson that we should be taking from the parables, from these stories. You could get into all sorts of things about looking at what the field meant, what the treasure meant, what the pearl meant, and all sorts of other things. But I just want to leave you with what is the main point. What is Jesus really trying to say? And that is that the kingdom of heaven is so valuable, it's worth sacrificing everything to get hold of it. The kingdom of heaven is so valuable that you will be willing to give up everything so that you can be part of it. These stories show us what it is really like to discover the reality of knowing Jesus in our lives. It's like treasure. And just to unpack it a little bit further, we just want to see what we can learn about this kingdom of heaven. And the first thing that we see is that it is the most valuable discovery that you will ever make. Finding the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing that you will ever find. That's the implication of what Jesus is saying from these stories. That a man found some treasure. A merchant found a pearl so good that he'd never seen anything like it before. And Jesus is reminding us that knowing him is the greatest discovery that you can ever make. Knowing Jesus reigning in your life, being part of God's kingdom, is the greatest discovery that you will ever make. Romans chapter 14 tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What can be more valuable than knowing Jesus? What does that actually mean? It means, first of all, that we are forgiven. We know that we have been made right with God. That is the righteousness that Paul is describing in Romans. We know that when we stand before God, we stand complete. We stand perfect. All the wrong things that we do, all the bad things that we think, all the horrible things that we say are forgiven. And we stand right before God. And because we stand right before God, we have a peace with him. That's what the world is crying out for, isn't it? In all sorts of situations, people want peace. Peace with each other, peace within communities, peace in all sorts of situations. And being part of the kingdom of God, knowing that Jesus has forgiven you, will give you that peace. And with that peace comes security, and with that security comes hope. That when Jesus does come back again, as the previous parables have been reminding us, particularly of the weeds a couple of weeks ago, when there will come a time when Jesus will return and he will separate those that know him and those that don't. And if we know the forgiveness of God, if we know that peace that comes from a relationship with him, we have that hope and that security of knowing that we will be with him forever. What can be more valuable than that? Do you appreciate what it means to be part of God's kingdom? Do we really grasp how great a treasure it really is? The Apostle Paul did in Philippians chapter 3. He knew what it meant to be part of God's kingdom. You see, he had a great heritage. He had a great pedigree. He had a great education. He had a great career path ahead of him. But yet he was able to say that none of that compares with the worth of knowing Jesus as his Lord. He understood what a great treasure it was that he had found. That it was far greater than anything that this world can offer. His treasure was in knowing Jesus. Nothing at all compares with it. And if you notice in verse 44 of Matthew 13, it says that the man who found the treasure was filled with joy. He was rejoicing in what he had found. One of the sermons that I looked at as I was preparing for this gave an illustration of a couple. This is a true story of a couple. The man had cancer. He was only only in his mid-50s, and he was coming to the end of his life. And his wife was caring for him and looking after him, and she was nursing him to the end. And on the day just before he died, somebody came along to see them, and they couldn't get over how happy the wife seemed to be. And they couldn't really grasp, why on earth are you so happy in this kind of situation? And she replied to him when he asked her that question. She said to him, my husband deserves to go to hell. But because of what Jesus has done, he will be with God in heaven. Isn't that something to be happy about? She had grasped what a real treasure it was to know Jesus. Have we really understood how valuable a treasure it really is? But that leads on to the second part, which is that the kingdom of heaven is worth making a sacrifice for. That's what that lady was going to experience. She was going to experience the loss of her husband. But it was a sacrifice worth making because she knew that he was going to be with Jesus. And she would be soon too. The kingdom of heaven is worth making a sacrifice for. You see, both these men, both the man in the field who found the treasure and the merchant who found the pearl, both really wanted what they had found. They'd come across this incredible treasure and they really, really wanted it. And both of them were prepared to give up everything that they had so that they could get it. Both of them went away and sold all that they had. That's what verses 44 and 45 tell us. They were willing to go and lose everything so that they might get this treasure, that they might get this pearl. And they both made a deliberate action. And they both acted quickly to get the treasure. As soon as they were aware of it, they wanted to do something about it to make sure that they got hold of it. back in the mid 1980s when Google was just a kind of a had just started out. There's a story of one man who was so taken up with what the potential of what Google could do that he sold everything that he had to buy shares in Google. Turned out to be a good decision. He didn't have too long either to get his investment back, because he acted quickly when he recognized, when he saw what he could get hold of. And the treasure that could be his, or the wealth that could be his, if he acted quickly and in the short term made a sacrifice so that he could enjoy the treasure for later. Going back to Philippians, that's exactly what Paul does, doesn't it? I don't know if you read those verses, you see so many times Paul said, I count this a loss. I consider it rubbish. What does he consider rubbish? Everything that this world can offer. His education, his pedigree, his heritage, his wealth, his intelligence. Everything I count loss for knowing the Lord Jesus. For enjoying that treasure. What is the most important thing in your life? Are you prepared to give it up to know Jesus? Are you willing to put it aside so that you can know the reality of Jesus living in your heart and living in your life? Jesus said a bit earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You see, the kingdom of heaven is worth making a sacrifice for. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing to put that above everything else? But the third thing we notice is that the kingdom of heaven is discovered in different ways. You see, the man walking in the field just stumbled across the treasure. He wasn't looking for it. He didn't know it was there. He was just going about his daily life. No thought, no planning had gone into the situation. He just happened to come across it. And sometimes that's true for people of finding the treasure of heaven. They just stumble across it. They're just going about their normal everyday life. They're not looking for it. They're certainly not planning to do anything with it. But the treasure comes. Or the treasure appears to them. And when they see it, they know exactly what it is. And they realize the value of it as Jesus makes himself known to them. Paul is a classic example of that, isn't he? He wasn't particularly looking for Jesus as he went on the road to Damascus that day, as recorded in Acts chapter 9. In fact, he was going to persecute people who followed Jesus. He didn't want to know. He didn't have any thought or plan that he was going to find that treasure. But as soon as Jesus revealed himself to him, his life was transformed, because Paul realized the value of what he had found. But other people are like the merchant who goes out searching for the treasure. He spent his life looking for the greatest pearl that he could find. He would have done lots of research. He would have done lots of investigation. He would have done lots of travel. He had worked out all sorts of plans to try and find the pearl that would make him rich. And some people spend a lot of time searching for the truth. They look in this place, they look in that place, they try this philosophy, they try that religion, they try all sorts of different things. And then maybe they try Christianity and they realize that that's where the answer is, that's where the truth is, that's where the treasure is. We have an example of that in the chapter before, in Acts chapter 8, where the eunuch from Ethiopia was searching for the truth. And he'd gone to all sorts of things. He was a God-fearing man. He'd come to Jerusalem. He was reading the Old Testament. He was searching for the truth. And then when Philip came up alongside him and started to explain what he was reading and what that meant, he realized then for himself that he had found Jesus and he wanted to be baptized. You see, there are different ways of finding the truth. There are different ways of finding the treasure. But the key point is that when you do find it, what do you do? Do you act quickly? Do you act decisively? Are you willing to give everything so that that treasure can become yours? That's the challenge of the two parables that Jesus mentioned there. But he goes on to give another parable, which is very similar to the weeds and the wheat. When he talks about a dragnet being cast into the sea and bringing up all sorts of different fish. And then at the end of the time, when the catch is brought in, the fish are separated between those that are good and those that are bad. And that reminds us of what we heard a couple of weeks ago, that there will come a time when we will be separated between those that follow Jesus and those that don't. But then Jesus, after that parable, asked the disciples this question in verse 51. Have you understood all these things? Have you understood what the kingdom of heaven is all about? Let me ask you the same question this evening. Have you understood? Have you understood what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven? I got Luke to go on to read the end of the chapter, of chapter 13, because there we have a very somber account of those that didn't. Jesus went back to the town that he was brought up in Nazareth. And there the people didn't understand who Jesus was. Is this not just the carpenter's son? Is his mother not called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? You see, they had the treasure right there in front of them, but they didn't see it. They didn't grasp it. They missed out on it. And just a few pages on, we have the story of a young man who comes to Jesus, a rich young man, who wants to know how to get eternal life. He understands what eternal life is all about, in the sense that he knows that Jesus is the one that maybe can give him the answer to his questions. And Jesus tells him, yes, you need to keep the commandments. I do that, he says. And then Jesus says, you need to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And we read that that young man went away sad because he had many possessions. You see, both of those people, that group in Nazareth, that rich young ruler, they had both been exposed and seen the treasure. One group didn't understand it at all. They didn't recognize the value of knowing Jesus. They just thought he was a human being who was able to do special things. They didn't grasp that he was the Son of God who had come to save them. The rich young ruler understood more. He recognized there was value, but he was not prepared to make the sacrifice, to make that treasure his. I trust that neither one of those describes where you are this evening. I trust you're like the man in the field or the merchant who has seen the treasure and understood what Jesus can do, who Jesus is and what he's done and what he stands for. That he is the one that can give eternal life, which is the ultimate treasure. And like both of them, that you're prepared to give everything that you have to make that treasure yours.